This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Questions about death have perplexed mankind down through history. Without a doubt, there is a wide variety of beliefs concerning what happens to you after you die. But, interestingly enough, there is a common traditional understanding about where the dead go. Yes, many just simply think they go on living as disembodied spirits in paradise or torment. Contrary to what most think, the Bible is different. It actually teaches about a resurrection back to life, embodied in a spirit body to live eternally with Jesus Christ and the Father on earth instead of going to heaven, as traditionally taught. Yes, what many don't recognize is that Jesus was seen by 500 people after he came back from the dead, after he walked out of the tomb. And yes, he explained we must be born again, but this time of spirit, not of flesh. What did he mean by that? Well, stay with us as we attempt to detail what this resurrection is and how it is the promise of the saved.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. What I want to talk about today primarily is the resurrection from the dead. And if I was to put a title on this program, I would call it Resurrection from What? Resurrection from what? Because when we understand that we are resurrected from the dead, it will help us understand what the Bible truly says about the state of the dead. Now, let me begin by talking about a couple funerals I went to this year. At one of these funerals, towards the end of the service, they played a song. And within that song, it talked about the lost loved one being in heaven, looking down on everyone, and everything was okay. So it definitely had an emotional appeal, because this particular individual died young, about 31 years of age, and everyone was really upset about this particular death. Another funeral I went to, the individual was a really nice person. Everybody agreed this was a really great guy. He died of an unexpected heart attack at age 60. And at the funeral, one of the people who was eulogizing this person said that he couldn't figure out why this person would have to die so young, at age 60, unexpectedly. And then he began to reason, and he came up with the idea that God was taking this person home to be with him because he was such a good person. And that helped everybody there, at least many people there, feel much better about that situation. But is it true? Is it true that if you are a Christian, when you die, you immediately go to be with God in heaven? I'm here to tell you today that that is not in your Bible. Believe it or not, your Bible does not teach that you are immediately conscious at death. In fact, it teaches the opposite. The Bible teaches us we are unconscious, we are not aware, we don't think, we don't know what's going on, the processes are not working, we are out of it completely until a future resurrection. So yes, there is hope. We can be with God one day, and that will be on planet Earth, but that is going to happen in a specific order at a specific time. It does not occur when we die. And hopefully I'll be able to make that point to you as we go through our discussion on today's program. Now, before I get to all of that, what I want to do is offer you some free literature and also a free full-length sermon CD. The literature I'd like to offer you on today's program is titled Immortality, God's Gift to the Saints. No question about it, the Bible clearly reveals that immortality is God's gracious gift to His saints. But if immortality is a gift that is given only to the saints, why do millions believe that it is an inherent quality of the human soul? What does the Bible say about this subject? Get immortality, God's gift to the saints. We also want to offer you a free, full-length sermon CD that expands upon the ideas I will be discussing on today's program. Get Resurrection from What? To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by going to our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to our website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. Welcome back, those that were with us at the beginning of the program and those just joining us. What we're talking about today is the resurrection from the dead. And we believe here at the Church of God International that most of Christianity has the concept of what happens when you die wrong. Most of Christianity believes that when you die, you are conscious, you are aware. You're either in heaven, you might be in hell, you could be in an indeterminate state of being, but they make the point that you are conscious and aware. What we say is that the Bible teaches you are unconscious, you are asleep, you are not aware when you die. But there is a future resurrection at Christ's second coming, and then another resurrection at the end of the thousand-year kingdom of God on earth, when all the dead, the rest of the dead, will come to life in those resurrections, and that is something that many people are not aware of. On today's program, I want to focus on that second resurrection, the time of Christ's second coming. And when I say second resurrection, I'm looking at Christ as the first resurrection from the dead. He was changed from human form into a spiritual form 3 days and three nights after He was in the heart of the earth. So we're going to look at this concept of why do some Christians believe they have an immortal soul or an immortal spirit? Where does that concept come from? Because it's not in your Bible. When you read your Bible, the Bible is clear. Man is mortal. If we had an immortal soul, folks, the Bible would not say that, could not say that, because we believe the Bible is God's Word and God cannot lie to us. Now, let's check something out here. I'd like you to do some research on your own, but I want to give you a little push in that direction. The concept of an immortal soul, that man lives on immediately after death, dates back all the way to ancient Egypt. The ancient Babylonians had a concept like this also. And as we go through history, we see this idea of living on immediately after death, moving through various pagan religions. It got into Greek philosophical thought. And eventually, as we get into the Hellenistic period, from about 300 BC to 300 AD, those concepts and ideas became popular within Jewish thought and within Christian thought. But prior to that, you can look in your Old Testament, you can read what the scholars say about the Israeli mindset, the Jewish mindset in the Old Testament, and it was not that you live on consciously after death. Let me give you a couple quotes from some credible sources. I don't want you to just believe me. I want you to go out there, do your research. But listen to these sources. I'm going to quote the sources right now. The belief in the immortality of the soul came to the Jews from contact with Greek thought and chiefly through the philosophy of Plato, its principal exponent. Now that comes from an authoritative source, the Jewish Encyclopedia, 1941, Volume 6. The article was titled Immortality of the Soul, and you can find that information and more on pages 564 and 566 of that particular volume. Now listen to this. We are influenced always more or less by the Greek Platonic idea that the body dies, yet the soul is immortal. Such an idea is utterly contrary to the Israelite consciousness and is nowhere found in the Old Testament. Now that comes from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, 1960, Volume 2. The article was Death, and that's quoted from page 812. Now those are some authoritative sources, folks, and they're saying exactly what I'm saying, what I said at the beginning of this program. The Bible teaches that when we die, we are asleep. We are not aware. But there will come a time when we will be resurrected, and that resurrection will occur from the dead. Now, you might be scratching your head a little bit if this sounds different to you, and you might be saying, well, wait a minute. At my church, I've always learned that I go to heaven when I die, if I've got the relationship with Christ that the Bible talks about. So how is it that I'm hearing a different idea from you today? Well, I want you to think about something else your Bible tells you. It tells you about a great deceiver known as Satan the devil. And believe it or not, this great deceiver fools the entire world. He has deceived the entire world on many things. And one of these things is what happens when you die. I'd like you, if you have your Bibles handy, to turn with me over to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. Listen to what it says. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And folks, what they do on this earth is they work against God and God's will. They try to turn people away from God's truth. And as I'm stating, some of God's truth is what happens when you die. You are asleep until a future resurrection. You're not aware. That comes from pagan religion, folks. Let's be honest with it. Scholars will tell you this. Credible sources will tell you this. It's not just me. Do the research for yourself, as I did many years ago, and I was astounded to find that when I die, I am unconscious. I am unaware until a future resurrection. I used to believe that if I died with a relationship with Jesus Christ, I would immediately be in heaven, be with God at my death. But now I know the truth of the Bible, that that is not true. Another example of what Satan is all about and the fact that he's working against Jesus Christ is found in John chapter 8 and verse 44. We need to understand this entire Bible to make sense out of this world in which we live. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Get that. He doesn't abide in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And what he tries to do with those lies, he tries to permeate this world with his lies, with his untruths. And folks, he's doing a really good job. He has got most of Christianity. Most of Christianity, get that. believes in Jesus Christ, yet they don't know what Jesus Christ teaches about what happens when you die. How is that possible unless there is this powerful satanic force in the world that is influencing and pushing the minds of men in certain directions, and especially on this belief on what happens when you die? Now, let me go further. And what I want to do in the remainder of the program is I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because if I could give you one chapter in the Bible that would be the best place to go to read about what's going to happen when you die, what the state of the dead is, what the resurrection is all about, it would be that chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in your Bible. Now, you're going to find a lot of other information in your Bible on this subject, but you don't have all of the data in one location like you do in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So when you do your research, begin there. I won't be able to read the entire chapter to you, but that's the place to start. With that foundation, you can then begin to understand other scriptures in your Bible. By getting that CD we talked about earlier, it will enhance your understanding, because we'll get into more details about what we're discussing today. But let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, notice what it says here. He died, He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Where was He when He was in the grave? Folks, your Bible is saying when He was in the grave, that's where He was. He was dead in the grave. It doesn't have any other information there about what transpired during those 3 days and three nights other than the fact Jesus Christ was dead. Now let's go further in 1 Corinthians 15, picking it up in verse 6. "After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." Now get what it's saying here. It says after Christ rose from the dead, some believers, some of the brethren saw Him, were aware of the fact that He was alive again after being dead, and that astounded them. But notice carefully what it says. It says some of these people, when the writer of 1 Corinthians was writing this down, were still alive, but some had fallen asleep since the time of Christ's resurrection from the dead. So there were some people that were dead. And what does it say about them? It says that they are fallen asleep. Does it say they went to heaven to be with Christ? No. Read it again. It says they are fallen asleep. Now let me ask you, just think about this simply. If these believers went to heaven, don't you think it would say that in Scripture? But if they are dead and sleeping in their graves waiting for a future resurrection, doesn't it make sense that the words "fallen asleep" would fit better right here? Obviously they do. Now here's another thing to think about. Many Christian churches teach that after Christ was resurrected from the dead, that opened up the pathway to heaven for all the rest of the dead who were dead in Christ or believed in Christ or believed in God. But this flies in the face of that contention. It says that after Christ was resurrected, after He had gone to heaven, some of these believers died. And where did they go? It said they fell asleep when they were dead. They're moldering in their graves, to be quite honest with you, waiting for that future resurrection. They're not in heaven. And the contention that some Christian churches make, that Jesus Christ opened up heaven to all the believers who came before Him, that is not found in your Bible, folks. This would be the ultimate place to put that in, And it is silent about that. It says these believers have fallen asleep. Let's go further into 1 Corinthians and let's learn even more about when this resurrection is going to occur. Let's pick it up in verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? So there were various beliefs back then. Some believed in a resurrection of the dead. Some did not. There were all kinds of concepts out there, just like there are today. Verse 13, but if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain and your faith is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, get this, your faith is vain, you're still in your sins. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, notice it again. It's using it again. They're falling asleep. They're sleeping. They're unaware that those which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. What does perish mean here, folks? It means you're done. It's over. There's no coming back. If Christ did not rise from the dead, there's no hope for anyone, folks. But luckily, Christ did rise from the dead. Notice verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now notice what it says in verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all will be made alive. But get this, verse 23, key verse, 23, key verse, check it out. But every man, and I'm going to say it loud, folks, I'm going to say it loud, I'm going to say it proud, because this is God's word. But every man in his own order. There's an order to rising from the dead. There's a process to rising from the dead. And let's see exactly what that process is. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. 2,000 years ago, Christ rose from the dead. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Folks, the rest of the dead in Christ rise from the dead, become aware again at Christ's second coming. There's no getting around this scripture. This scripture is plain. It's unalterable. You can't get around it. The next resurrection we're looking forward to is at Christ's second coming, when those who are believers in Christ are going to be raised from the dead. Now, the great thing is there's another resurrection later, at the end of the thousand-year kingdom of God on earth. You can read about that in Revelation 20 and verse 5. I don't have time to address that, but I do want to show you in verse 26 of this same chapter, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Let me ask you a question. Those of you that believe, you go to heaven as soon as you die. Why is death called an enemy here if you go to heaven when you die? Why is death an enemy if death is the gateway to heaven? Folks, it just doesn't compute. It just doesn't make sense. Death is an enemy because it won't be completely overcome until after the millennium, after the kingdom of God on earth, when the rest of the dead come to life, have their opportunity to understand God's truth, make their decision, and then that's when that final judgment will occur for most of the dead. Now, in your Bible, if we go to the end of this chapter, verse 50 through 55, notice what it says. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. There's that word again. But we will all be changed. The reason we won't all sleep is because when Christ comes the second time, some people will be physically alive and will be transformed into that spiritual body that you can read about in other parts of 1 Corinthians 15. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, there's another indicator as to when this is happening. You can tie this up with what you read about in Revelation. When the last trumpet is blown, that's when the second coming occurs. That's when Christ takes over on this earth. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Folks, there it is in your Bible. You are mortal. You don't have an immortal soul. The Bible says that in other places also. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, God alone is immortal, and He can give us that immortality. But it only comes as a gift from God. He's in control of that. But we got to follow God, get on His path in order to have the opportunity for that gift. I hope I've whetted your appetite on this subject. We are not immortal. We are mortal. When we die, we die. We're dead. We can be resurrected from the dead, and God will do that. But we've got to understand what the Bible teaches. Stay right there. We got a little more to talk about on this subject with my colleague. Hang in there for that. Bye from me.
Resurrection from what? This is an interesting word that Mike has introduced to all of us. This word resurrection. And interestingly enough, Mike was correct in the sense that coming to a proper understanding of this word is very important. And it is oftentimes misunderstood, as Mike said, simply because of the influence of this notion, especially in the Christian community. But frankly, many religions share the same idea that mankind is already immortal, that you have an immortal soul in you, and when you die, it wafts off to heaven. And the fact is, as Mike pointed out, a lot of that understanding of that idea and concept has come down to us from ancient Babylonian mystery religions and sun god worship right out of Egypt that many of the Hellenists adopted during the times and days of Jesus Christ. My friends, this has caused us to stumble over the actual meaning of what the word resurrection means. And this is important. It's paramount that we understand the proper definition of what resurrection means. Let me illustrate this by quoting to you over here back in the chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul writes, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how come some among you that say there is no resurrection of the dead?" That's right. Paul's saying some of you are denying the fact that there is a resurrection. You're teaching that you waft off to heaven. You can't have it both ways, he's saying. Verse 13, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain." That's how paramount the understanding of what this word resurrection is all about. You need to understand the deep, rich meaning of this and the difference between it and wafting off to heaven. So won't you let us help you to understand it? Dial now 888-578-8791 and ask for both of the free offers that Mike had presented on today's program, a short piece that you can read in easily in one sitting titled Immortality, God's Gift to the Saints, and a one-hour presentation from Mike himself titled Resurrection from What? Both are free for the asking at 888-578-8791 or on our website at www.cgi.org. This is Bill Watson reminding you always, as we often do, that you keep on that armor of God so that you might be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.